Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We'd like to look here in the book of Romans, chapter 12, and read the entire chapter. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord doesn't ask anything unreasonable out of any of us. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't obey verse 2 until you've obeyed verse 1. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or seriously, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another, or one to toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I guess if we had a subject this morning, it would be serving God with the gifts you have. Serving God with the gifts you have. When the Lord saved us by His grace, we became responsible human beings. Always have been responsible, but we are responsible to serve the Lord with the gifts that God gives us. I believe our text here states that we should faithfully attend church, as we see there in Hebrews chapter 10. I believe that it's very important that we worship the Lord in and through His church that He left here upon earth. And so we're to faithfully attend church. I also believe that it's important that we study God's Word, that we grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to notice another reason that we exercise the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given us. That we exercise the gift or the gifts that God has given us. And the primary place to do that is in His church. And I believe that's very important that we understand that. And so let's talk for a few moments about His gifts. He has given to His people some gifts. Now, a spiritual gift is a supernatural enabling for service. It puts a little bit more light on it, doesn't it? A supernatural enabling for service. That is not something that we have developed. It isn't something that we decided that we wanted to do. It's a supernatural enabling that the Lord has given us to better serve Him with. And He's given all of us a gift, and I'll show that to you later on. He has given all of us a gift. And we need to be using it in His church for His honor and for His glory. And so it's an ability that God gives to us so that we can both serve Him and that we can edify His church with. When you're exercising the gift that God has given you, it is honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is also edifying each one that is sitting there. It's blessing each one that is here. And so I believe that the Lord still gives gifts to His children in His church today. And some of the gifts have not ceased. The sign gifts like healing and tongues and special new revelations from the Lord, they were given at one time. But when the Bible was completed, those gifts were unnecessary. They're not to be used today. And so in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'd like for you to turn over there with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read that verse there. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The word cease in verse 8 means cease once for all. Cease once for all. Or permanently disappear. So they're done away with, those gifts. Any gift involving receiving new revelations, new visions and tongues and so on, they have ceased. But there are some gifts that He has given to us that we can worship and praise the Lord with. For some reason or another, and we all feel this way from time to time, we feel that we can turn our gifts or our talents on and off anytime we want to. Now notice here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just turn back a page or two, you're still there in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let us look at verse 7. And I believe that we all have at least one gift. All of us do. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to just certain people. Now, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, to every man, to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of prophecy by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. Now, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let us notice verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As every man hath received the gift, you received the gift. You have the gift, you've received that gift, regardless of what it may be. You received that gift, you received it from the Lord, you received it by the grace of God. Even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And we need to be good stewards of that gift that God has given us. Because we're going to have to give an account to God for how that we use the gifts that God has given to us. Now, let's also notice here this morning, we want to notice where these gifts come from. Where do our gifts come from? Well, they come from God, the Father. They come from God, the Son. And they come from God, the Holy Spirit. Now, notice in the book of James. In the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no variations with God. And so every good gift, the gift that you have is a good gift. It's a good gift. And every perfect gift is from above. It's from above. You got that perfect gift from God. The perfect gift of salvation that you got, that's a gift from God. The abilities and the gifts that He has given you is perfect. And it comes from God. But we all have a tendency to think, as I've said, that we can turn those gifts on and off anytime we want to. I believe that we need to take more seriously the gifts that God has given to us. As we come to the house of God today, we came to worship and praise and honor and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And sometimes we get in a shape, sometimes where we think we're just coming out of habit. I mean, this is Sunday and we got to get up and go to Sunday school and go to church and so on, and we've always done that, and you know, and so we just get up and come, and we really don't stop to realize that we're coming to worship and honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and if need be, the gifts that God has given to us, that we're going to use those for His honor and for His glory. Now, notice, so we see there that the gifts come from the Father. Now, notice in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4 and notice verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave, so before he left here, he gave gifts unto men. So he gave your gift to you. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let us notice verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. So our gifts that we have came from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Puts a little more light on it too, doesn't it? And so I believe that this will do away with all of the boasting that we might have. And now notice in 1 Corinthians 4, 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why doest thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? So who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? That's not yours to do what you will with it. That's a gift that God has given to you, and is to be used for His honor and for His glory. Now, we exercise the gifts that God has given to us. I believe that is the utmost importance in your Christian life. What kind of church would we all have if we did not use the gifts the Lord has given to us for His honor and for His glory? Now, notice in Ephesians chapter 4, 16. Ephesians chapter 4. And notice verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so when everybody is exercising the gifts that God has given them, it is edifying the church. It is building up the church. And I believe that's no doubt the goal of every member,
is to build up the church. To edify the church. And so without these gifts, the church would be confused. The church would be disorderly. And so only as we exercise our gifts are we working as one body and the whole body functioning as one. Don't worry about the other brother or the other sister that is not exercising their gifts. You just exercise the gifts that God has given you. But can you imagine what this church could do and what this church would be if everybody was exercising the gifts that God has given them? And I believe that's what that verse is teaching us. And so only as we exercise our gifts are we working as one body and the whole body functioning as one. I believe we have examples of this. The church at Corinth, I believe, was completely out of order. Especially in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, they started getting back in where they ought to be and doing what they ought to do. But it was out of order morally. Fornication and so on was going on. It was out of order legally. They had lawsuits going on between one another. It was out of order financially. Paul had to tell them how to give and so on. It was out of order spiritually. Some of the members were carnal. And so Paul told them there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. So it's important that we have order in the church. So if all the members were doing what God wanted them to do, think of the order that would be in our church. It's possible for our churches to be in order. God meant for us to be in order. We need to realize also that our gifts differ. Our gifts differ. In fact, back in Romans chapter 12 there, in Romans chapter 12, look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And so we need to realize that our gifts differ. Now you all wouldn't want to hear me play the piano. Now all these other ladies, they have the gifts and the ability to play the piano, to play the organ. Sounds great, doesn't it? We really enjoy it. And we really rejoice. And it's a great blessing to us. That edifies the body. But our gifts differ. Now, each member is gifted for her place or his place in the work of the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 25. 1 Corinthians 12, 25. 1 Corinthians 12, 25. That there should be no schism in the body. That there be no rent or no division. That's what the word schism means, in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. So, Not all ears or hands or noses or eyes. Each member is gifted to minister to the church in a particular way. I may not be able to minister to the church the way that you could minister to the church, because I don't have that gift. I don't have that ability to do that. But the gift that God has given you, you can use that to the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe you all would rejoice much if I got on that piano and tried to play that piano. But Tana or one of the other ladies get on that piano, they start playing and start singing. I mean, you're just sitting there, you're smiling, you're just bubbling over. I mean, you're just really rejoicing. Why? Because they are exercising that gift or that ability. They're using that gift that God has given them to the honor and the glory of the Lord. And it's blessing the body. It's blessing the church. And you're being blessed. And everybody else is being blessed and edified and so on. Now, so when you fail to assemble, you're failing to exercise that spiritual gift for the edification of the body of Christ. Remember, one member cannot do it all. You know, a lot of times we depend on that other person too much. We say, oh, well, somebody will sing. Somebody will play the piano. Somebody will play the organ. I don't think I will. Somebody will do it. But one member can't do it all. So if the needs of the church is going to be met, it's going to take each member fulfilling their responsibility that God has given them. In other words, exercising your gifts that God has given you. Exercising your gift or gifts that God has given you. Now, in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans that we read, there's the gift of prophecy. There was a gift of ministry. There was a gift of teaching. There was a gift of exhortation. There was a gift of giving. There was a gift of ruling. There was a gift of mercy. It's all right there. The gift of prophecy. The gift of preaching the truth. And a faithful pastor is fulfilling that gift. The gift of ministry, serving others in a material way. Deacons are not the only ones that have that gift. Teaching, the ability to make the Bible clear. Everybody does not have that ability. Everybody does not have that gift. And the gift of exhortation. Being an encourager. We all are to be an encourager. But there's some that can really encourage you. There's some that can really lift you up and really encourage you. They're not a discourager. They'll encourage one another. Be ready to exercise that gift that God has given to you. Every time that we enter into the house of God, be ready to exercise that gift. Giving. Well, let me go back to discouragement. I was going to skip that. Can't skip it. Discouragement. There's some that just discouragers. Not encouragers, but they're discouragers. You know, we receive enough of discouragement out there in the world. Do we not? Don't bring any of that in the house of God. Leave that outside. And then there's the gift he talks about there, and the gift of giving. Give liberally. Enjoy giving. Not only give money, but give yourself. Your life is the Lord's. And that ought to be our desire. The Lord gives us life. Why did He give us life? Why did He give us life? Why did He give us spiritual life? So we could serve Him. You say, well, I'm saved by the grace of God, and you're talking to somebody you know, and you say you're saved, and you're serving the Lord. But I tell you what, we're saying a mouthful when we say we're serving the Lord. We're serving the Lord. And then there's the gift of ruling. This gift is given to pastors. And he's to exercise that gift. If the Lord has given you a place of leadership in the church, fulfill it to the best of your ability. You're a song leader. Fulfill that to the very best of your ability. Sunday school teachers, fulfill that responsibility that you have and that gift that God has given you to teach. Prepare the very best for the Lord and for those little children. You say, well, I only have a couple in my class. May I only have one. But God is still giving you that gift. He is still giving you that ability, and perform it to the best of your ability. And then, mercy. There's the gift of mercy. Some are especially gifted with mercy. They have the ability to visit the sick and really be a blessing to them. Really be able to lift them up. They're able to show sympathy. And may God help us that we wouldn't be hard-hearted sometimes as we are. That we'll be able to show sympathy towards others. That's a gift. So the entire emphasis on Romans 12 is that we use whatever gift or gifts for the honor and the glory of the Lord and His church. I believe our sovereign God has given us at least one gift. And what He has given you, He'll enable you to carry it out. What God ordains, He sustains. We need to realize that we're just clay in the potter's hand. This church does need you. This church does need every one of us. We all need one another. And so your gift or your gifts are important to the Lord and to this church. So let's think about the health, the strength, and the unity of this church. Let's all just carry out what God has given us to carry out. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about whether they are going to exercise their gifts that God has given them. Let's each one of us just try to fulfill
the responsibility that God has given us and exercise those gifts. Primarily, that it'll honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll build up His church. Say, well, you got right to the point. I'll tell you what, I wasn't going to preach this. I didn't want to preach this at all. And usually when I have that feeling, it's working me over up one side and down the other. And it's hard for me to preach when that happens. But we're serving the Lord. We're serving the Lord. He said, unto Him be glory in the church. We either believe that or we don't believe it. But the main thing is, the gift that God has given you, you're going to have to give an account to God. And all I'm trying to do this morning is trying to help you. Trying to help you to realize that we're all going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account to Him how we use that gift that God has given us. Don't worry about anybody else. We're going to have to give an account to the Lord ourselves. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you'd like to come forward this morning and just say, church, I've let you down. I haven't been exercising that gift that God has given me. And I want the Lord to forgive me, and I want this church to forgive me. And by God's help and by God's grace, I'm going to use it for His honor and for His glory from here on out. Maybe you're here this morning, been saved by the grace of God, and you'd like to make that known.